what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And with me, as always, he's got a job and Pat Miletich doesn't, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, Happy New Year. Great to see you again. Seems like it's been forever.
It is a new year, Eddie. It's a new day. Yes, it is. It's great to see you, my friend. And we are back for 2021. We took a few weeks off. I have been all over the place. I was in Utah. I went skiing. I went and visited my parents over Christmas, over New Year's. But I'm back. I'm back, baby. And I'm ready to go.
Well, it's good to have you back. And you brought a little snow with you.
Brought a little snow with me. Eddie, before we get to that, you can find us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can find me at Nonstop MMA. Eddie, it snowed here. It snowed here last Sunday. It snowed for us when we were in Utah the Sunday before. So my kids only saw it when we went skiing, but it only snowed down when we were at my parents' house the last day before we left. And then sure enough, another Sunday, we got snow here in Texas.
So my question is, how did Covey handle his first snow day?
Well, he did great. We did not love it because you have to wipe his paws every time he comes back in. He's bringing back in, he's bringing back in snow, dirt, and just that wasn't the best part. So we were out there, we were building a snowman, Eddie. And as I'm rolling, it was great snow. It was great snow for a snowman where you can just kind of, roll it along and it just builds and builds and builds. Definitely saw some places where we had some yellow snow. Wrapped up in the snowman. We had some places that, we thought it was an acorn. Wasn't an acorn. That actually could have been the corn cob pipe, but it wasn't.
What about the eyes or nose?
We had to pull that out. But no, it was. I think he really enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun. On Monday, the kids were out of school, so they went down to the play of the school, just down the street, and Covey ran everywhere there. So he had a great time there.
Nice. Well, Jordan, since we last spoke, a lot has happened in the world of sports. Let's see, Dennis Rodman's daughter, 18-year-old daughter, was the number 2 pick in the women's soccer draft.
Great.
Hockey's back.
Okay.
Basketball's back. Yeah. Texas NBA's basketball back. Is awesome. Ranked number 4, beat Kansas. James Harden got traded to the Rockets, from the Rockets to Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's breaking news. That happened on Wednesday. Did you see that meme of Mark Henry as they tried to put... James Harden as pass him off as Mark Henry.
Who do you think has a better dunk, James Harden or Mark Henry?
Ooh, Mark Henry, he definitely can dunk. We showed him that video one time. I'm gonna have go with James Harden. But how about this, Eddie? Last week, we heard that a BYU alumni, Steve Sarkisian, gonna come be the head coach of Texas football. How do you feel with Coach Sark coming to Texas?
Sark has landed. I'm excited. It'll be good to have someone here who actually tries to put his players in position to be better, as opposed to just forcing them to do the same thing over and over again and think that it's going to change. So I'm excited.
All right. I'm going to save my judgment. Hopefully this means that we're going to get a BYU-Texas series of games back on the calendar, right? I know you don't love that. But
my biggest issue now is that my autographed Tom Herman football is worthless.
Well, that's true. But your autographed Vince Young football right over my shoulder, it's still right there. And one of these days, Eddie, we're going to see each other in person. And I'm going to hand that over to you. I don't want it anymore. I want you to have it.
See, I was nice enough to have my gift to you shipped. But, maybe I was raised better.
Well, when I got mine in person, I got mine in person from VY from you. So, I didn't go buy it from somewhere. I did the personal touch of getting that done for me, for you.
Okay. All right. So we're even then.
Yeah. All right. One of these days, Eddie, we're going to get there. Guys, it's 2021. Before we look forward at this year, we've got to take a second. We've got to look back. And Eddie, this is my favorite time of the year. This is a time that we love. It's time for the tappies.
Oh, yeah.
So, Eddie, this year we're going to do an abbreviated Tappies because everyone's already done it. Everyone has talked about what's the upset of the year, who's the comeback of the year, what's the event of the year. Obviously, it was UFC 247 because I was on the front row. Eddie was on the second row. That was the best event for both of us, obviously. But, Eddie, let's get into it. Who was your male fighter of the year?
Now, there's some people who say the fighter of the year has to have gold around his waist, but I disagree. I say the busiest fighter with the best results. And for us, for that, Kevin Holland, he went 5-0 in 2020 with 4 knockouts, including that of one rising star, Joaquin Buckley. So for me, Kevin Holland.
Yeah, not only of rising star, Joaquin Buckley, but veteran Jacare Souza. Right, and he did that in a,
that's right.
Really a fabulous knockout. Obviously, you know, I think we can both
off
say
his
this.
Back.
We're gonna give Joaquin Buckley the KO of the year. There was nothing like it this year. It was incredible. But he did have that knockout. Kevin Holland did of Jacare from his back. That was incredible. The other thing about Kevin Holland, Eddie, is that he did all of that since May 2020. So the guy not only got 5 fights, and had he fought earlier in the year, he could have got 7 fights in, maybe 8 fights in. That would have been incredible. I like what you did there. I see that you know, you don't have to have a championship to be the fighter of the year. But to me, Eddie, I do think the fighter of the year this year has gold. To me, you know, you could have looked at Israel Adesanya. He was 2-0. He defeated Romero and Costa. The Romero fight wasn't great. Jan Błachowicz, he defeated Corey Anderson and Dominic Reyes. He's the UFC light heavyweight champion. But my fighter of the year is Deiveson Figueiredo. He was 4-0. It was all championship fights. Now, the first one wasn't a championship fight for him. It was for his opponent, so it still was a championship fight. He fought him twice, 2 finishes there. The Alex Perez finish was incredible. The Brandon Moreno fight was also incredible. He had 3 of the most incredible finishes of the year and a fight that is going to be on our candidacy. It's a nomination for fighter of the year. Holland, I would say, definitely is my COVID MVP, but I've got to go with Deiveson Figueiredo for the fighter of the year for the males.
Well, he'd been up there for me, but I have to correct you on one spot. He's not 4-0 this year. He's 3-0-1.
Oh, that's true. You are correct. He is 3. He did not lose. He's undefeated this year.
That's
right. He is not 4-0. You are correct. Eddie, let's flip over. Let's go to the female fighter of the year.
This one's pretty easy. And I got to go with Valentina Shevchenko. She defended her title twice before and during the pandemic, defeating Jennifer Maya and Caitlin Chookagian.
Yeah, this one's interesting, right? You and I, we both saw her dominate Caitlin Chookagian. Jennifer Maya won a round from her. She looked good at some points, but Valentina Shevchenko, she is so much further ahead of the rest of the women at flyweight in her division. And she, I think she's going to be a champion for a long time in that division. Obviously, the other nominees, you have Amanda Nunes defeating Jermaine Durandamy. You've got Zhang Weili, who, let's face it, you know, her fight that she had with Joanna Jędrzejczyk, it was a very close fight. It was a split decision victory, but she only fought once. I think you mentioned Holly Holm a couple weeks ago. She had 2 wins, one over Raquel Pennington, the other over Irene Aldana. But I agree, we've got to go with Valentina Shevchenko. All right, Eddie, this is where it's going to start differing. We mentioned Joaquin Buckley got the knockout, but let's go to submission of the year. Where are you at with that one?
For me, the submission of the year came in the last card of the year with Jimmy Flick, I believe from Oklahoma, making his UFC debut, and he slaps on a flying triangle, causing Daniel Cormier to lose his crap on air. So for me, anytime you see a flying triangle, that's going to shoot right up the charts for me.
Yeah, that was over Cody Durden at UFC Vegas 17. I thought that was an incredible flying triangle. Other nominees, I would say AJ McKee, the McKeeotine over Darian Caldwell. That had a lot of stakes in that. You had Khabib's triangle that he had over Justin Gaethje. He had him in the rear naked choke, and then he decided
put him out cold,
put him out cold and not hurt him and went for the triangle. That was also his first submission in the UFC. And then I have to go with Aljamain Sterling. It was a minute 28 into round 1 over Corey Sandhagen. He takes the back. And first he was aggressive. Then he takes his back with a body triangle, puts Corey Sandhagen to sleep. It was a statement win. We know he's going to be getting a title shot. He's been waiting for that title shot since this win. But Cody Garbrandt was also on the same card. Garbrandt would go forward to knock out Rafael Assunção later that night and make an emphatic KO. But Aljamain knew he had to make a statement, and I thought that he made that statement that night. So that's why I would give Aljamain Sterling my submission of the night.
I have to agree, that was a heck of a submission.
All right, Eddie, we have two more awards that we want to give out. The next one, Breakthrough Fighter of the Year. I'll give mine first. So let me say, a lot of the guys we've already talked about. So Kevin Holland, he had a breakthrough, you know, year. He lost actually in his last fight in 2019, came back, won five fights in a row in 2020. So he's up there. Vadim Nemkov, he only had one fight, but it was a win over Ryan Bader to win the Bellator Light Heavyweight Championship. My breakthrough fighter is a guy that I didn't even know of a year ago, and that is Khamzat Chimaev. Khamzat Chimaev went from unknown to 3-0, two within 10 days. He fought Gerald Meerschaert and KO'd him in 17 seconds. So much that he broke through that he was going to fight the number three ranked fighter in Leon Edwards. That fight has now been canceled twice, but Khamzat Chimaev is on a rocket ship. And I have to have him for my breakthrough fighter of the year.
Well, let me tell you, that is a heck of a pick. And I can't complain about that at all, except for the fact that to me, he feels like he's only a breakthrough to like the hardcores. He hasn't had like his big, big star-making moment yet. Unlike the man who you gave fighter of the year, who I'm giving breakout fighter of the year, Davison Figueiredo, coming through and beating the man everyone loved, Joseph Benavidez, badly. Twice. And then putting on a fight of the year candidate against Brandon Moreno. Star making turns, coming back within like, what was it, 3 weeks?
Yeah, it was incredible, like 20 days.
Yeah. That's the kind of breakout star making turn that I say makes Davison Figueiredo, the breakout fighter of the year.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Davison Figueiredo is right there, and I can see what you're doing there, Eddie, and I like it, frankly. All right.
Oh, thank you.
Final award looking back at 2020, Eddie. The fight of the year. Let me go through. I think there's three nominees. Okay. I think there is Davison Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno, UFC 256. You've got, and guys, we're not just, this is out of everyone, right? This is not just a UFC award show, but if I look back and I think about the top fights of the year, I really think the UFC had the top three fights of the year. Dustin Poirier versus Dan Hooker. That was at UFC Fight Night in June. I was actually about two blocks away from the Performance Center when that fight happened, and I wasn't there, unfortunately. I wish I was, because that was an incredible fight. And then finally, this has got to be my winner, UFC 248, Zhang Weili versus Yuanian Jacek. The way that Yuana looked at the end of this fight, the heart that both Zhang and Yuana gave, the way that they kept coming back and just bringing it all five rounds, you could say female fight of the year. Official, just this is the fight of the year. This was incredible. Maybe the greatest female fight of all time.
I have to agree with you on all of those aspects, except for especially the fact that you should have been at that Poirier Hooker fight.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah, but for me, that's also the fight of the year. Figueiredo Moreno was up there, but the fact that the fifth round kind of went out with a whimper and they ended in a draw, was like, it really lost it for me right there.
Yeah, no, I get it. All right, Eddie, that was looking back at 2020. Let's look forward. All right, this is one of my favorite times. We've been doing this for years, and we're going to get to that at the end. But Eddie, I saw a lot of other people start to make predictions. Who is going to be the breakthrough fighter of 2021? What is the story of 2021 going to be? But they also do this. Who are the champions going to be at the end of 2021? We have been doing this. I have this document. We've been doing this 5-6 years now, Eddie. I'm not saying people are copying us here, but this is kind of our thing. We've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, you got the spreadsheets and Google Docs to prove it.
Yeah, I definitely do. Eddie, 2021, who will be your breakthrough fighter of the year?
Now, like I said, for me, it's the guy that goes from being, you know, proven to taking a star turn. And for me, it'll be Austin's own Jeff Hands of Steel Neal in the welterweight division. He is going to get himself into title contention this year. He's ranked number 11 currently. Look for him to be into the top five, top four before the year's out. I'm going to say a title shot in 22.
Well, that's interesting, especially since he just came off that loss to Stephen Wonderboy Thompson on the last fight of the year.
Right. Wonderboy makes a lot of people look bad, but I guarantee he learned a lot.
That's a bold statement, and hopefully we like Jeff Neal, and I think that's definitely could happen. Eddie, mine's going to be interesting, right? I told you that my 2020 breakthrough fighter of the year was Khamzat Chimaev. Well, my 2021 breakthrough fighter of the year is also Khamzat Chimaev. Okay? He hasn't fought him yet, but he's fighting Leon Edwards. They now say it's going to happen on March 13th. He's at a position where he could go from, you just said it before, you don't feel like he's a household name yet. He's not there where people know who he is. He could go from not a household name to legitimately be a UFC champion by the end of 2021. Because if he beats Leon Edwards, he's right there in the top three of the division. And we know that the UFC loves him. Dana White was asked who are the three guys to watch going into 2021. He said Khamzat, he said Kevin Holland, and he said Joaquin Buckley. Those are three guys that if you give them an opportunity to shine and they cash in on that opportunity, the UFC is going to give them more opportunities. So I think that Khamzat Chimaev had an incredible 2020. I think he's going to have an even better 2021, and that dude could be a champion in the welterweight division easily.
He really could, but he's going to have to get through Jeff Neal first.
Yeah, he's got to get through a bunch of people.
That's right. We both picked the welterweight division. How odd is that?
Yeah, he may not have to fight Jeff Neal, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, he's probably going to jump him pretty quick.
All right, so let's go last award. Let's go to what's the story of 2021?
For me, I was thinking it might be the Ali Act because that might be reintroduced to Congress this spring. But I think it's just the fact of when will the UFC be able to have full arenas again? That's the biggest story. Will it stay? I think at the Etihad Arena this week at Fight Island, they're going to have a few thousand. But when will we get back to having packed arenas in mixed martial arts? That's the question. Also because it's usually indoors. So you can have more people outdoors at stadiums. But indoors, when we be able to have 16,000 people packed in tight?
Yeah.
That's my story.
I missed that, right? The UFC was supposed to be in Austin. Back in June, we were going to go to that.
Don't remind me.
A year ago, almost right now, we were in Houston for the fight, UFC 247. So, I miss that. I miss being in an arena. Eddie, that's not my story of the year. My story of the year is the UFC headcount cuts, right? We saw people like Yoel Romero, Anthony Rumble Johnson, people that are prime fighters that have been just let go from their contract. Corey Anderson was let go last year. And I'm interested to see that what the UFC does going forward. And if they're going to continue to cut, I mean, it's interesting. Dana said a couple weeks before the new year, he said, you're going to see a lot more fighters cut. And so we thought we'd see the axe drop. I don't know if we actually did see that, and at least not publicly. I haven't seen a ton of fighters get released. I still expect that to happen. And you're going to see organizations like PFL, Bellator, ONE, Ryzen, all gain more popular fighters. Fighters that are maybe a little bit past their prime, but fighters that are still a name and still a draw that you can build on, that you can market. So I think that it's going to be really interesting, who gets cut and who goes where in 2021.
Yeah, it's like if you look at the top, if you look at the UFC rankings right now, look at divisions like featherweight, light heavyweight, you see a lot of, let's just say, non-household names in the top 15. And that's because a lot of those guys have been cut. Bellator's light heavyweight division right now, you'd probably say it is better than the UFC's.
It's really good. That light heavyweight division is really good in Bellator.
Yeah. Look at the heavyweight division. Oh, my God.
All right, Eddie. This is my favorite time where we pick the champions at the end of 2021. Eddie, we did this last year. We tied. We tied again. We were 7 for 12. I'll just go quickly through yours. You had... in strawweight, you had Joanna Jędrzejczyk, then you had Valentina Shevchenko, Amanda Nunes, Megan Anderson. You had Joseph Benavidez, Henry Cejudo at bantamweight, Alexander Volkanovski, Habib, Tyron Woodley, Israel Adesanya, John Jones, and Stipe Miocic. So you went 6 for 12. I had Joanna Jędrzejczyk, Valentina Shevchenko, Amanda Nunes. I had Joseph Benavidez. I had Peter Yan. I had Zabit Magomedsharipov. I had Habib. I had Jorge Masvidal, Israel Adesanya, John Jones, and Francis Ngannou. So we both went 6 for 12. So this is it. This is the time when you put your money where your mouth is, Eddie. Who will be the champion at the end of 2021 in this women's strawweight division?
Women's strawweight, I am saying... Wait.
Zhang Weili is the current champion. Who will be the champion at the end of the year?
That's messed up on my paper. I didn't even put down strawweight.
Well, that's rude.
I was looking at this whole thing. Yeah, that's rude of me. I am going to say Rose Namajunas.
All right, there you go. I'm going to go with Zhang Weili. I think she is a beast, and I know that they want. I don't know if Rose Namajunas wants that, right? That's what the UFC is saying. I think that's a good pick. All right, Eddie, flyweight. Yeah. I think we can both agree we're both going to go with Valentina.
That is correct, sir.
All right, bantamweight. I'm going to go with Amanda Nunes.
I am also, because we're smart.
All right, featherweight.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Amanda Nunes vacates the title to spend more time with her new baby, and Megan Anderson wins the vacant title.
Ooh, so I'm not going to say, I'll put that in there as Megan Anderson. I'm not going to say that Megan Anderson is the champion. I could see Amanda Nunes vacating the title and them getting rid of it and being it vacant, but it just doesn't exist. But I'm going to go with Amanda Nunes.
So if they do get rid of it and there is no title,
we both win.
Does that count as an L for me?
No, I mean, it's an L for both of us. So
okay.
All right. Into the flyweight division, you've got Deiveson Figueiredo is the champion today, Eddie. Who will be the champion at the end of 2021?
I don't see anyone taking Deiveson Figueiredo out except for his own weight, so I'm going to say he keeps the belt.
All right, I will go with Deiveson as well. All right, bantamweight, Peter Yan is the current champion.
Seeing as I picked Aljamain Sterling, what, like 2018 to win the title, I kind of have to stick with that now that he's finally getting a chance at the belt, so Aljamain Sterling it is.
All right, I'm going to go with one TJ Dillashaw coming back. So I'll go with TJ Dillashaw. He's coming back from suspension right away. I'm surprised we haven't seen a fight yet for him. Hopefully we see something out there for him soon. All right, featherweight, Alexander Volkanovski is the current champion.
Okay.
He's got a fight against Brian Ortega. That fight is supposed to happen in March. So you think about, you know, who goes from there.
I am going out on another limb here and saying Brian Ortega, his jiu-jitsu and his improving boxing all the time. Ortega keeps the belt.
All right, I'm going to stick with my pick of last year. No respect for the champion, Alexander Volkanovski. I'm going to go with the champion. Zabit Magomedsharipov is the champion at the end of 2021. Now it's going to start getting interesting, Eddie. We've got the lightweight division, Khabib Nurmagomedov. Dana says he's actually going to meet with Khabib this week when he's in Abu Dhabi. He says it's going to be a quick meeting. He's going to try to get him. I know he wants him to fight the winner of the McGregor-Dustin Poirier fight. Obviously, he wants McGregor to win that because that's the fight that you can sell. Who is the champion of the lightweight division at the end of 2021?
This one was so tough, but even if he comes back, I don't believe Khabib will hold on to the belt all the way to the end of the year. So I'm going with our man, and I can't call him Hot Sauce, but he's a diamond, Dustin Poirier. Have you tried his hot sauce yet?
Ooh, that's a good one. I have not tried his
hot sauce. I keep meaning to.
Gosh, I think Dustin Poirier is a good option. I'm going to go with Connor. I think that the UFC is going to give him opportunities to win the belt. And even if he doesn't beat Dustin right now, I could still see him getting another title shot by the end of the year.
See, I thought of that, and especially if he does win it somewhere in the middle of the year, he's not going to defend it. So he'll just hold on to it through 22.
That's true. All right, welterweight division, Kamaru Usman is the champion today. Eddie, who will be the champion at the end of 2021?
Kamaru Usman holds on to the title.
All right, Kamaru Usman holds on to the title. Gosh, I'm going to have to go. Gilbert Burns could actually defeat Kamaru Usman right away. That fight, I think, is happening February 8th. And I'm going to go. Kamaru's a beast, man. I'm going to stick with Kamaru as well. I know you want me to pick someone else so we can have some sort of disparity in our picks, but I think it's going to get interesting now. So
I think it'll happen soon.
Middleweight, Israel Adesanya is the current champion. We know he's going to be fighting Jan Błachowicz for the light heavyweight title. That happens in March. I think it's March 6th, Eddie. Who is the champion at light heavyweight? Or excuse me, at middleweight at the end of 2021?
I'm going to say Adesanya defends the belt maybe one more time, but vacates it before the end of the year. And Bobby Knuckles, Robert Whittaker, takes it before December.
All right. Whittaker it is. I'm going to go with Adesanya. All right. Let's go to light heavyweight. Who is the light heavyweight champion?
As much as I love Polish power, Israel Adesanya is going to take it from him. And I don't see anyone in that division who could beat him.
I'm going to go with Adesanya too. Adesanya becomes the double champion. And then finally, Eddie, heavyweight division. Stipe Miocic holds the belt right now. He's supposed to fight Francis Ngannou. I think it's in March. At the end of March, they're trying to put that fight together. Who's the champion at the end of 2021 at heavyweight?
I'm going to say Stipe wrestles Ngannou to death and then doesn't fight again the rest of the year. Stipe holds the belt through 21.
All right. I'm going to go with the newest member of the UFC heavyweight division, John Bones Jones. Eddie, this is my favorite time. I love this, guys. That was the Tappies. Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. We got a ton of news, and we're going to have Max Holloway. We're going to have Joaquin Buckley, our KO of the year. He's going to join us. Carlos Condit's going to join us. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
It's What's Up With That.
Woke up this morning and I got out of bed. Had a big old cup of coffee to clear my head. Been home for a while and that's where I'm at. But we can still jam on What's Up With That. Ooh-wee. What's up with that? 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 You, yeah. Woo! Well.
Welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com. Eddie, coming up, we've got the former UFC featherweight champion, Max Holloway, the former UFC interim welterweight champion, Carlos the Natural Born Killer. We've got the KO of the year recipient, Joaquin Buckley, all from Abu Dhabi, all talking about their fights this weekend on ABC, talking about their fights. And so that is exciting, Eddie. But there's some news to get to, my friend.
There really is. And I'm not even going to start with you on SNL stuff. So we're just going to go to our own big star in MMA, and Israel Adesanya is officially taking his talents to 205 pounds, Jordan. What's up with that?
I mean, I wish they would have done something like the decision when LeBron took his talents to South Beach, but he didn't. So Israel Adesanya, he is going to fight Jan Błachowicz, UFC 259. It is going to be March 6th, and it's going to be the main event. So you got Adesanya versus Błachowicz. That's going to be for the light heavyweight title. In the co-main event, you've got Amanda Nunes versus Megan Anderson for the women's featherweight title. You've also got Peter Yan versus Aljamain Sterling for the bantamweight title. Eddie, but that's not it. That's not where it ends. Like, this is like an embarrassment of riches fight card. You've got,
is this International Fight Week?
It feels like it. You got Alexander Rakic versus Thiago Santos. That's a great fight. Rakic is number 4. Thiago Santos is number 2. You've got Joseph Benavidez versus Askar Askarov. You've got Benavidez, who's number 2. Askarov, who's number 3. You've got Dominic Cruz fighting Casey Kenney. You've got Islam Makhachev versus Drew Dober. Right now, Eddie, if this fight card goes as is, this is one of the best fight cards you could put on paper of the year. This is really incredible.
This has me wondering if Dana is planning on this being like UFC on ABC 2.
Or like the return to fans. He had said that he wants to do something big for fans. Like this is a big card. This is like a UFC 200 type card. If you don't have like a Conor or a John Jones, like this is the next best thing you could do with this many strong fights. Eddie, let's go back to Israel Adesanya. He's going to 205. In the last segment we talked, you think that he defeats Jan Błachowicz. He then, you said that he goes back, he defends the middleweight title one more time. Is his future career at UFC, at light heavyweight?
I think it is, because he's just going to naturally grow anyway, put on some more mass and muscle. And not having to cut down, that's everyone's future. Yeah. So yeah, 205 is his future.
Does he go up to, could Israel Adesanya be a three-weight champion? Could he go up to heavyweight? He kickboxed at heavyweight. Could he hang with the Stipes, the Francises? We know that he could probably hang with John Jones, but could he hang with those other guys who are much heavier? John Jones would be a smaller heavyweight.
I'm going to say no, because he can hang with them on his feet, but a lot of those guys are wrestlers, and if it was John Jones at 205, I wouldn't pick him.
Okay.
There you go. The heavyweight wrestler's not a chance. Now, I do have to wonder, you know, come like August, Dana White's like scrambling to get for main events because he used up all his title fights in March. It's going to be interesting. You know what else is interesting? Michael Chandler has his first fight set in the UFC, Jordan. What's up with that?
All right, Michael Chandler is fighting next weekend at UFC.
Former Bellator champ.
Yes, former Bellator champ fighting at UFC 257. We know he was at Fight Island as a backup for the Khabib Nurmagomedov Justin Gaethje fight, but now it's official. He's going to be fighting Dan Hooker in the co-main event against the McGregor versus Poirier card. Hooker's last fight was that fight of the night contender we talked about against Dustin Poirier back in June. Now, this is a great opportunity for either fighter, right? Dan Hooker or Michael Chandler. They're both fighting on the same card as McGregor and Poirier. Whoever wins this fight, you know, they should definitely call out the winner there. That's the problem, though. If you call out McGregor and he loses, that doesn't really work for you. And if you call out Poirier and he loses, that doesn't call. So you got to figure out how to leverage your mic time the best. And the best time to do it, it's not after the fight. It's not in the press conference afterwards. It's right in that time when you have the microphone immediately after the fight. So take advantage of it. But I really like what the UFC is doing here. I've heard they're going to do Justin Gaethje versus Charles Oliveira. It's almost like it's a mini tournament that the UFC is putting together. Poirier, McGregor, Gaethje, Oliveira, and then Hooker versus Chandler. And, you know, obviously, you know, if McGregor wins this fight, he's going to be the A side. He is going to be in a title fight. And it's up to whoever looks the best out of those other fights, probably going to be the B side to fight against him. Now, if Poirier wins, I still actually think that you put Poirier in a title fight. Poirier is a stud. And so either way, I think the winner of that fight is in the title fight. And it's between the Gaethje-Oliveira Hooker-Chandler fight that whoever looks better will get the next shot.
And you can believe that if someone drops out of Poirier-McGregor, Michael Chandler is going to be the fill-in.
That would be interesting,
and
too.
And sorry, Dan Hooker. That's just the way it's going to go. Since our last show, Jordan, Anthony Pettis, former UFC lightweight champ and WEC lightweight champ, has found a new home. What's up with that?
Yep, another guy taking his talents outside of out of the UFC. This is Anthony Pettis is going to PFL. He's going to be competing in their 155-pound lightweight tournament. ESPN's Errol Hawani said that this is the biggest payday of Pettis' career, and that's even without winning that million-dollar prize. Natan Schulte is the current 2019 PFL lightweight champion. Eddie, I want you to put on your prognosticator hat. Does Anthony Pettis hold PFL gold and cash a $1 million check at the end of 2021?
I'm going to say yes, because Natan Schulte is a big-time wrestler, and you don't want to be on the ground with Anthony Pettis and his jiu-jitsu. So I'm going to say Pettis takes that home. Now, someone else who's looking to make a return, Jordan. The Diaz brothers. Nate Diaz is looking to come back at lightweight. What's up with that?
Man, I thought you were going to say Nick Diaz. I had heard Carlos Condit talk earlier this week that he would love to fight Nick Diaz.
We'll get to that.
But Nate Diaz, he is looking to make a return at lightweight. Dana White told the Mac Life in Abu Dhabi that he's working on a fight against Nate Diaz. It's not against Tony Ferguson, which you think about, that would be awesome. He said that the fight's going to be against someone else who's returned to lightweight. They're also looking at a March timeframe. Eddie, you look at the rankings, you look at the numbers. Who is a good opponent? What's your best guess for a fight against Nate Diaz?
Well, you know, I was hoping for one Jorge Masvidal, but with the return to lightweight, that's not going to happen. You said it's not going to be Ferguson. Mm-hmm. Paul Felder? That'd be a good one.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Not as exciting, right? Because it's
the fight itself would be a barn burner. No. But the fight itself would be classic.
Yeah, I know. That would be a good fight.
I wouldn't put him against someone in the top five. Hooker? Well, the loser of Poirier Hooker.
What happens. All righty, while you're thinking of that, let me hit you with some new fights. We've got, I got a ton of them. Michael Chiesa versus Neil Magny. That's the new main event next week. We've got Alexander Pantoja versus Manel Cape. Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns. That was announced. We've got Pedro Munhoz versus Jimmy Rivera. I like that. Andre Arlovsky versus Tom Aspinall. They rebooked Curtis Blaydes versus Derek Lewis. That's February 27th. We got Jan Blachowicz versus Israel Adesanya. We went over that card. Jarzinho Rosenstruck versus Cyril Gane. Hamzat Shemaya versus Leon Edwards. Both those fights are on March 13th. Derek Brunson is fighting your fighter of the year, Kevin Holland, March 20th. You got Johnny Walker fighting Jimmy Crute. And then I think we already mentioned this before, Mackenzie Dern is fighting Nina Ansaroff. Eddie, those are new fights. That's what's up with that, guys. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
Until next time. Hey. Ooh. What's up with that? What's up with that?
And welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, 101.9 AM 1260, The Horn app, streaming online.
We are all over
wherever
the place,
you can find
Eddie.
It. That's right. Jordan, Saturday, the UFC makes its debut on Big ABC. It just feels weird saying Big ABC.
Like there's we only say one. Big Eddie, Fox. There's only one ABC, my friend.
Yeah, we say Big Fox instead of Fox Sports, but there's no ABC Sports. It's ESPN. So UFC on ABC 1, headlined by Max Holloway versus Calvin Kattar. That fight is going to be fantastic, Jordan.
I love this, Eddie. So this is a Saturday afternoon fight card. It starts at 2 o'clock right here in Texas. And not only is this like, this is the introduction to fighting for soccer moms, for randos who are just going to catch this in the middle of the day, who are watching ABC. And I love this because you have someone like Max Holloway, who could be the greatest featherweight of all time, who doesn't really have anything to gain from this fight against number 6, Calvin Kattar. And, you know, I talked to Max Holloway earlier this week. We're going to play that interview in a second. And he says, you know, how do you keep away from that pressure of being in a fight where you're fighting a guy who's number 6? And he said a fight's a fight, right? This doesn't mean he keeps that pressure down. Is he going to get a title shot off of this? He's going to leave that to his manager in order to figure that stuff on the back end. And so you have a great main event right here with Calvin Kattar, who has an opportunity to beat a former fighter to really show that, hey, in a 5-round fight, I'm a stud. I was coming back. I was going to beat Zabit if that fight had gone 5 rounds. I deserve. He could jump Zabit if he gets a win over Max Holloway.
That's true. And even if you look further into the main card, the co-main event, this is a real co-main event, Jordan. I rail about supposed co-main events all the time. Former interim welterweight champ Carlos Condit versus Matt Brown. That's going to tear the roof off the place.
So, Eddie, I mean, this is a little bit late, right? This is the third time that these guys were supposed to fight, where they've gone through a training camp. I think it was 2013.
Oh, don't say it out loud. You're going to jinx it.
2018, and now they are only a few days away from fighting again. But this is like the epitome of violence. Matt Brown, I think he was voted by Sherdog like one of the UFC's most violent fighters. Carlos Condit is the natural-born killer. So putting this fight on ABC where you have so many casuals that can actually catch this, this is either going to be, you know, something that's really exciting because you get people are going to call you, you got to watch, what is this that I'm watching on the television right now? And so this is going to be, it's great matchmaking. I love this fight. Do I wish that this fight would have happened 3 or 4 years ago? When these guys were probably at the more prime of their career, Carlos Condit in his last fight on his UFC contract, that'll be interesting. But these guys, they know how to bring it. We know what this fight's going to do. Both fighters said that, hey, don't blink. This is going to be exciting. The other thing I would say, Eddie, is you got Santiago Ponzinibbio, who hasn't fought in a couple of years, fighting against Li Jinglong. This is a great fight too. Santiago Ponzinibbio is a guy who is you know wants to fight all comers. He's been away for so long. I'm really excited to see Santiago Ponzinibbio back to see how he looks in this fight. And then Li Jinglong, yeah. He's always tough.
Brings an international flair to the main card. And the great thing about this is this last portion of the fight night is going to be going up against the first half of the Rams-Packers game. So even if you love to watch, if you want to watch the Rams and Packers, and you know, I hate Aaron Rodgers, but I'll still watch that game. But you don't have to miss the third and fourth quarter if you want to watch some fights.
Yeah,
you're still going to get your action in.
Yeah, it's. I mean, putting it on ABC is fantastic. And the last fight I just want to highlight on this, you've got Joaquin Buckley, Eddie. Joaquin Buckley, I asked him earlier, and you know, how are you going to feel? How do you handle that pressure when they're going to be showing that highlight knockout that he had, the spinning back kick, over and over and over again? And he said that he got a lot of that pressure out with his win over Jordan Wright that happened at the end of last year. But this is on ABC, and this is a big opportunity. And Dana White, we said it earlier, has already called him out as someone to watch in 2021. And so Joaquin Buckley always has to elevate. He says he's going to win this fight by a knockout. It's going to be a spectacular knockout. So he's always trying to up his game. And so I'm going to be interested to see how he deals with the pressure. I don't know much about Alessio Di Cherico, but I know that Joaquin Buckley brings it, and I'm excited to see what he does in this fight.
Yeah, and for some reason, we know even less about the guys who are opening the main card, Puna Hile Soriano and Dusko Todorovic. Two names without Wikipedia pages. Jordan loves those.
I know. It's okay. You know, it's not a big deal. I'm excited.
But you know, because they're unknown, they've got something to prove. And I always say watch the prelims, and I'm including these two guys on it.
Yeah, no, this will be good. Eddie, I do want to go back to Max Holloway. Max Holloway, I want to play the interview that I had. I talked to him from Fight Night from Abu Dhabi this week. Let's go to Max.
Hey, Max, this is your second time fighting at Fight Island, obviously the same for Calvin. What do you learn from that first experience? Obviously, it was a loss. It was a really contested close loss. But what do you learn kind of taking into this next fight?
A fight is a fight, you know. Fight Island, I learned that since we got fans back, we cannot move around like how we did the last time we came. You know, me and my boys, we bring out carvers, just skateboard things that kind of replicates surfing, and can't really ride it around anywhere. We thought that we'd be able to ride it on the streets, but now tourism is back and stuff, and the fans is here. We can't. So it's about the only thing I learned.
So, you know, obviously you've been in a lot of really big fights in your career, and this is the first fight of 2021. It's the first fight on ABC. And you said, hey, fight, but how do you really just kind of make it like any other fight so there's not that pressure on you?
It really just is a fight, you know. When I say it, I'm not lying. It's really just another fight to me. I can't wait, you know. I'm blessed with the opportunity to be here, to be the first fight in 3 weeks, you know, the first card of the year, the first fight in forever or mixed martial arts on ABC. And there's just a bunch of the first fight with fans. There's a list that goes on and on, you know. These things, they get me excited, though. You know, I'm excited. I can't wait to fight, and I can't wait to go out there and show out on Saturday.
Nice. Hey, you're ranked number one at featherweight. You know, Calvin's ranked number six. What do you think is your path back to a title?
I don't know. You know, first things first is Calvin. Calvin is in front of me. I make sure I take care of him, take care of the job come Saturday night, and then, you know, put the rest on the heat on my manager. You know, my job is to control everything that's inside the octagon. His job is to control everything outside the octagon. So at the end of the day, I just got one guy in front of me, you know, so we'll take care of him, and we'll go from there.
Awesome. Hey, last question for me. Just over the main event next week, you fought both guys. You fought Dustin twice, and Connor back in 2013. How do you see that fight going down next week?
I don't know. You know, Dustin is always motivated. Looks like we got a motivated Connor, so I can't wait. You know, fight should be fireworks, should be exciting, and I just say enjoy it. You know, I think it's gonna be a real good one.
Max, it's great to have you back and great to talk to you. Congrats on the engagement, and good luck this week.
Thank you, brother. Happy New Year.
All right, Eddie. Max Holloway, he seems like he's ready to go. His mind is in the right place. A fight is a fight. I like hearing what I'm hearing. And I agree. I don't think he gets a title shot after this.
I'm a little disappointed, though, because I didn't get an it is what it is.
I know. I tried to ask a question that would handle an is what it is, but it just didn't come up. So, guys, stay tuned, though. So if you're listening to us on the radio right now, we're going to end. But after that, we're going to go. We've got both Joaquin Buckley. We've got Carlos Condit coming up. They're going to be a podcast-only part of the interview. Joaquin Buckley obviously talking about his upcoming fight. And then Carlos Condit, you know, how does he, you know, he took 20 months away from fighting, came back, beat Court McGee, and now to see what he's doing and what he takes away in this fight against Carlos Condit. So I'm looking forward to it. And then, Eddie, next week, my friend, it's a big week. It's the return of Conor McGregor.
There's going to be so much going on the rest of this month.
Yeah, I don't know how long the UFC is going without another break in action, but we're going to be doing this with fights for the next few weeks. And so I'm really excited, Eddie. It kind of pains me, though. I wish I was in Abu Dhabi. I know it's not feasible that I really can't pull it off with little kids at home.
I tell myself that every week. Tell my wife, but
I wish I was in Abu Dhabi for the Conor fight. So it's definitely interesting. But guys, thanks so much for listening tonight and picking us up on a new night. Glad we can do this on Friday here. Stay tuned to next week. We got Stu and Justin coming up talking sports guys, talking wrestling. And thanks for listening.
Yeah, and remember, there's still a pandemic out there. Wear your mask. Stay away from people. But most importantly, stay positive and be good to each other. And if we ever didn't thank you, let us do it now.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
All right, guys. I told you that if you waited till after the show ended on the radio, we would have Joaquin Buckley, and Carlos Condit. So right now, we've got Carlos Condit, the co-main event, fighting Matt Brown, talking about his fight coming up next week. And right after that, we'll have Joaquin Buckley and his fight against Alessio Di Chirico. Guys, thanks so much for listening. We will see you next week when we talk all about UFC 257. Have a good night.
Peace.
Hey, Carlos, good to talk to you again.
Hey.
Hey, you came back after 20 months off, and looking back now that you have that win over Court McGee, what did you learn or gain from that time away?
Patience. it was tough having to, wait to get signed for a fight and then getting injured, having surgery, coming back. I mean, it was not ideal. And, I guess at the end of that, coming away with the win against Court, that, that I still got it, and that my formula still works.
You and Matt Brown, obviously you guys are both warriors. You've been obviously in some absolute wars. So is he. You mentioned before that you're excited about the fight. Kind of what makes you excited, and also how much do you respect Matt Brown as a fighter?
I got a ton of respect for Matt. I got a ton of respect for anybody who steps in the octagon and puts it on the line. Matt's a hell of a fighter. He brings it. If he gets dropped, he's had a lot of fights that he's been in really, really bad spots and turned it around and come back. And, that says something about a person. I forget the other part of your question though.
Just why are you excited about fighting him? Like, obviously you guys both have a ton of fight performance bonuses. And so like, how do you expect that to go in a fight?
It could go a lot of different ways. I'm going to fight smart, and I'm going to, I'm going to take him out. And that's why I'm excited. Get out there, get a good finish against a tough opponent, get paid, go home.
Obviously, you mentioned that it's your last fight of the contract, but you've been fighting in the UFC since 2009. You were in WEC before that. Your first pro fight was in 2002. What are your goals right now in fighting?
Just to continue to improve, continue to grow as a fighter. I got a pretty tough test in front of me. That's my goal. I got short-term goals. The next 4 days, that's what I'm focused on.
All right, Carlos. Hey, we can't wait for the fight, and especially to see it showcased on ABC. Best of luck.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, Joaquin, how you doing?
Bless.
Hey, congrats on a good finish to last year. Obviously, you won our KO of the year last year. But last year, you're kicking off this new year on ABC. Obviously, that KO is going to be played over and over again as we lead up to that. How do you kind of stay grounded and make sure that you keep that pressure off going into this fight?
Like I said, I relieved a lot of pressure from the Jordan Wright fight and just realized it's just another fight. It's not that big of a deal. I know people see the impact of the kick and, try to expect something different or if not the same thing. But unfortunately, man, it's the fight game. It's very unexpected. You never know what's going to happen. You just got to keep your eyes glued to the TV.
Nice. We're excited to see that. You obviously had a busy year in 2021. What changed really after that UFC debut against Kevin Holland?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah, no, you're good. What changed for you? So obviously you had a busy year. You made your UFC debut. Unfortunately, it was a loss for you. But what really changed in kind of your mindset and your approach to fights after that UFC debut?
Nothing, man. It's always either kill or be killed. He got me that night. And shout out to Kevin Holland. He's definitely a fighter of the year from 2020. And, but I plan on running it back with Kevin Holland again. But it was just his moment and his chance and opportunity to shine. I can't take that away from him. But other than that, though, I don't really see myself losing to anybody up to this point,
Hey, you last year on Fight Island, you had two of those fights in Las Vegas. Anything that you learned over those experiences kind of in quarantine, how to kind of prepare yourself for a fight that you're taking into putting into a place this week for fight week?
What I really realized, man, this is about mental preparation, man. Just visualizing the whole scenario on how the whole fight is going to go, because you just only have time just to sit and wait, you know what I mean? And being inside of a hotel room, it's not much to do. You can't really train like you want to. So it's really about mental preparation when it came to quarantining. So that's what I learned the most, man. It's just visualization, you know.
So and how do you visualize it? Go ahead. How do you visualize this fight ending?
I see this fight ending definitely in the KO in a spectacular fashion, for sure. You know, and I just see myself getting the win.
All right, Joaquin. Hey, best of luck this week. Thanks for the time.
This is UFC featherweight Calvin Kattar, and you are listening to Eddie and Jordan on Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.